was going to candidate at a church. It was going to be one of his first churches. And he spoke in the morning's meeting, and then in the evening later on, he agreed to have a question and answer time with the congregation. And so they proceeded to ask him about his life and his background. And this was a rural church in a rural community. And so they were asking him if he had a farm background. One particular gentleman said it was very important to him. He felt it was going to be crucial to relating to the farmers in the area that he knew something about farming and country life. And this gentleman said, "Well, I'm not personally experienced." He said, "I was raised in Southern California on the beaches. I surfed most every day. But my wife, she's from a farm." He said, "In fact, the first time I saw a cow was when I saw her." You didn't get that, did you? And, of course, swallowing hard, the pastor realized what he had done. He had not intended that. He meant that the first time he saw a cow on a farm was when he met his wife at the farm. Not that she was a cow. It just goes to show how important it is what you say and where you say it. Words are so powerful. Words can build people up and words can tear people down. Words can be caustic like acid, and words can be soothing like a heating pad, or like a sunny day, or refreshing like the rain. Words have that ability. George Washington, when he was a small boy, one time he was playing with his smaller sister, and he got impatient with her and said something very harsh and very belittling to his younger sister, and she began to cry. Realizing what he'd done, he apologized to his younger sister, and his father, August Washington, happened to be within hearing distance, and he came to young George, and he wanted to teach George a very valuable lesson about what you say. And so he went over to a bush, and he broke off a stick. And then he went over to another bush and broke off another stick, gave one to his smaller daughter and one to George. And he said, "Now, children, break the sticks in half." So they broke them in half, and he said, "Now put them back together." And they tried the frayed ends. He said, "Once you break the stick, it never goes back together like it was, does it?" And he said, "Son, I want you to always remember that when you say words that cut like they did with your little sister, it's usually almost impossible to ever put it back together the way it was, no matter how sorry you are. There's a scar that's left." Last week we talked about gardening, didn't we? We talked about how love is so much like gardening. Our relationships are so much, need so much tender, loving care, and so does a garden. So does a garden. Well, last week I shared with you my story about my gardens. Today I thought I'd share with you a story about a friend's garden. I have a friend who's a very good gardener. And he usually has beautiful gardens. In one particular year, he had a gorgeous garden. He'd done all the proper work and the fertilization, and he doesn't make the kind of mistakes I do by detasseling the sweet corn. So that, for those of you who aren't here, so that your corn is degendered and will no longer grow. He didn't do things like that. He had beautiful flowers around the garden, and it was growing, and he was taking wonderful care of it. And wanting to add a little more life and growth and fruit to his garden, he went out to the garage, and he reached around the corner rather quickly to get the ortho fertilizer in a can for the garden. And this garden was at least as big as this stage. A lot of work had gone into this. And by accident, he grabbed what he thought was food for the plants. He grabbed ortho weed killer. But a very caustic type and a very effective type. Put it on the hose, sprayed the garden. Just had a wonderful time spraying that garden, totally unsuspecting. About 3 days later, these weird things began to happen to the garden. They began to shrivel. The plants began to turn color. And lo and behold, he discovered, "I've killed my whole garden. Way too late to replant. It was destroyed. Totally destroyed. Gone because of a foolish mistake, but done with great sincerity." Many of us, many people I know, and at times myself included, if we spoke to our fellow employees or to our employer the way we speak to those closest to us, we wouldn't keep our jobs. You ever thought about that? The way we speak maybe to our parents, the way we've spoken to our mate, the way we've spoken to our children, people, they just wouldn't put up with that. We'd be gone. I've talked to men who, you know, that just have such a hard time being patient with their wife. But boy, the secretary at work, you know, she can lose a very important letter that needed to go out. And of course, you know, very patient man, well, that's all right. Everyone makes mistakes and walks into the office and shuts the door and grabs his hair and pulls it out. You know, but not with his wife. She gets it full blast. Or the kids, they get it full blast. Very short, very intolerant. It seems like with those we love, it's almost the hardest. In my experience, it has been the hardest to be sensitive, to keep diligent, to watch what I say, because, boy, it's so easy to get comfortable with those you love and take people for granted. A verse that Mark read this morning, I'd like to read to you out of a little different version. It's out of the Living Bible in Ephesians 4:32. It says, "Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those who you are talking to, and what will give them a blessing." We've taught our children this verse, and sometimes they're better at it than I am. They've learned at a very young age to say kind things to one another, because we just don't tolerate unkind things. But it's very difficult sometimes as an adult when you've grown up letting your emotions go and letting your emotions control your tongue. It's very difficult sometimes to bring that giant ship under control, isn't it? It can be like a runaway train sometimes, the mouth can be. And I would like to go over this morning a few helpful suggestions, about 10 guidelines that I think will really help you speak the language of love in your home. When you think about relationships, I think it'll do you a world of good to think about a garden. A garden. How would you treat your garden? When those little shoots are coming up out of the garden, do you go out into your garden stomping around just anywhere, crushing the life of those little plants? No, you do not. You go out and you tenderly pull the dirt away and you let them breathe and you aerate the soil, you give it food, you water it. If it's not getting enough water from the sky, you make sure it gets enough water. You pay for it. You go out and you weed the garden carefully so as not to pull up the plant. If we were to give that much attention to our relationships, we'd have the most dynamic marriages, the most dynamic family life, and the most wonderful interpersonal skills in relationships with those we work with. But we place more importance in our value system oftentimes on things than we do on people. And we need to learn to get refocused and gain our perspective back and realize that every time we say an unkind word, every time we do something, we're sowing that. And you reap what you sow. If you remember last week, we talked about that. You begin to reap and you begin to grow in your love relationship, in your marriage, in your friendship, with your children. You reap the things you sowed. And sometimes, we talk to parents and I look at children and they wonder, what happened? What happened? Well, ask yourself, what did I sow every day? I was recently visiting with a young person who told me that a recent conversation with her mother, the first time at about 20 years old, that her mother ever said, "I want you to know I love you." First time she'd ever heard those words. The first time. And I know many of you have had that experience. I know many of us, it's very difficult to take our children, tell them, "Daddy loves you." I remember talking to a parent one time, and we were talking about our sons. I have a son that's 7, a daughter 8, and a daughter 4. And we were talking about affection. And I was telling him, I kissed my son. And his jaw dropped open. His eyes got really big. He said, "You kiss your son?" And I, gee, is that weird? You know, maybe I better think about that a little bit. You know? And here this man is totally unaffectionate with his son. You have to remember that whatever you sow in your relationships, that's what grows. Like Nikki's song this morning, we've got to learn to talk to one another and take the time to say it in love We have to learn to communicate, not let things go inside, keep them bottled up in there, but we don't want to let them, you know, like the pop can, you shake it up, or the champagne, you shake it up, pop the cork, and it explodes all over everyone. And there was a time in my marriage that was the only way I knew how to communicate. It's the only way. In a very caustic, a very harsh, explosive manner. And I made sure the point got across. And I would wait and have this kind of pseudo-patience, you know, pretending I was patient. And then one day, it was just too much. That was it. I'd had it. And boy, my wife knew it. My wife, both barrels aimed, ready to hurt, ready to inflict some pain. And it's been a long lesson for me. It's been a long road in the last 9.5 years, learning to control this mouth. I remember as a young man, my father telling me, "Mark, your mouth is going to get you in a lot of trouble." I probably could have used a lot more on the backside, frankly. He used to tell me that. And boy, I'll tell you, there's times it has. Like Mark was sharing this morning, it's one thing to lose an account. It's another thing to lose your marriage. It's one thing to lose a business. It's another thing to lose your kids. So I'd like to go over just a few guidelines that have been, frankly, the gleanings of my life in the last 9 years, things I've learned the hard way, and things I've learned from the Word of God that have helped me greatly in my relationship with my wife. The first one is never speak when you're angry. Never, ever speak when you're angry. Boy, I wished I would have learned this a long time ago. And I'm not saying I'm perfect in it now, but I will say there's been, from where I have come, about an 80% improvement. And I have learned that it's wise to close my mouth if we're in a situation, we're maybe in the kitchen, we're maybe in the living room. Something happened, something was said, and it hurt. And I want to respond, I want to lash out. Or something's been going on, there's a strain in our relationship, and I want to talk about it. And boy, it's just right there, I just want to say it. I had a situation like this recently, and I just sat there, inside, biting my teeth down, because I knew this old heart wanted to say something really mean, that I just need to calm down and keep listening. Remember last week? Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to get angry. That'll always help you. And so I just was quiet, and I realized my wife, you know, she's been under stress, she's pregnant, we're expecting a baby in March. There's a lot of changes that go on, and she needs some understanding. And I better just close my mouth, listen a while, and gain some perspective here, and think very carefully about what would encourage her. Or else I'm going to really hurt things even worse. So don't ever speak when you're angry with your children. Don't ever speak when you're angry. Wait. Calm down. Proverbs says the wise man calms himself, restrains his anger, and then he speaks. That'll really help. Remember that when you say things, you might as well, if you say them in anger, you'll never be right, you'll always say them wrong, and you might as well spray poison on your family. Very important to remember, or on your relationships. It will always spray a caustic poison on the people that you love, and it burns. It hurts. Second thing is, don't be sarcastic. Sarcasm destroys relationships with those you love. Don't poke fun at your loved ones. Sarcasm, I believe, is a national disease. It's a national disease in this country. We make movies about it. We sit and watch it with our families. And we see the sarcasm that goes on day after day between people who are supposed to love each other. And so we use it. Oftentimes, things that people joke about, they really mean. They really mean, but they're trying to put it in a funny way. And people are sarcastic. I've never usually been in a situation where I found sarcasm to build anybody. It usually hurts. It usually hurts. And then it just causes more sarcasm back. And I've seen relationships between husband and wife, or mother and son, or friend and friend, and that's their whole relationship. Who can cut each other down the most? Who can do it the best? Who's got the sharpest tongue? A sharp tongue, I read, does not necessarily indicate a sharp mind. I think that's a good little saying to remember. A sharp tongue does not indicate a sharp mind. Usually indicates an ignorant one. Or one that has not trained itself to be very careful with what we say. Third thing, don't use the words always, never, and every. Get them out of your vocabulary. Honey, you... Well, usually at that point you don't say honey. You say you're always doing this. I mean, we've been married 10 years and you've done it ever since we've been married. Every single time we go somewhere, you put me down. You never have any time for me. Oh, man. Those words, people take them seriously. And I've used them. And I've experienced the wrath for using them. I've experienced the hurt that's been in my wife. I've experienced her emotions in that now she doesn't trust what I say. Because something spoken in a harsh way, in an angry way, was really taken seriously. And boy, do you have to work real hard to prove that you mean something different after you've said it. Don't be negative or derogatory. I think another problem is just negativism. Man, what a crummy day. Man, can't we have anything different to eat? Man, Eliza, the house always going to be a mess? Man, work was a drag today. I am so sick of going in there. I am so sick of putting up with those people. You know, you come home and your wife, maybe she's had the same experience. You know, if you've got a double income, you're both working, you come home. And, oh, the daycare people stink. It's a rotten situation. You know, man, I wish we just had more money. Man, I wish the sun was out. Boy, it's cold today. You ever take time to think about how many of those kind of things get said? Sometime you stop to think and you will find that often that's your primary communication with your loved one. I mean, really. What other things do you talk about in your life besides the weather, your day, and the problems your friends are having? Gossip. You ever think about that? What other things are there? What other real communication goes on? What other real depth of communication? Sitting, I love to build a fire. I buy wood. I'm a recreational fire bug. All right? I'm not an arsonist. I'm just a recreational fire bug. I love fires. When I have people over for counseling or almost any meeting, when it's, I'll actually open the window of my basement to make it cold. Okay? And I'll build a fire because it's like a drug. It's like a tranquilizer. Those flames dance, the warmth, the crackle, and people instantly relax. I love to spend time with my family by a fire. It helps me relax. Some of you know how much I need to relax. You know? So it helps me just calm down, and I look into the fire, and I think, and I like to talk. I like to visit with my wife by the fire. I like to talk to her there. Get comfortable. Just look. Or maybe not say anything, but it is so easy, and it's easy for me to be very negative, to evaluate everything on the basis of all the things that went wrong. Well, let's see, we had feedback 5 times this morning. See, there's 3 missed notes. Oh, I tell you, when are we ever going to get that right? And it can go on and on and on and on. We have to really be alert to that because it just makes everybody's life gloomy. Everybody around you. My wife's always told me, you know, honey, you really affect me. And when you're discouraged, it really has an effect on me. And just the opposite, when you're cheery, when you're bubbly, when you're saying kind things, you'll get those kind of things back. Don't be derogatory. The fifth one, probably the most important of everything here this morning. Praise, praise, praise. Express words of appreciation and adoration. I don't think there's a day that goes... I know there's not a day that goes by in my life since I've been married and since I've had children that I have not told every one of them verbally, I love you. Daddy loves you. In fact, now it's such a habit that I cannot even go out of the house, out the door, without getting 3 kisses. One from each of my kids. And, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Have a good time. I can't. I haven't been able to do it yet. Sometimes I even try to sneak out. I do. I creeped up to the door. Daddy, are you gone? Daddy, I love you. Wait. And here comes 3 little kids running, you know. And give me a kiss. You know. We try to make that a habit in our home. It's very easy, men, just to take our wives for granted. The 1,285 million meals that my wife's already prepared since we've been married. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. All the shopping. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's changed. You know, it used to be only the wife went shopping. Then, of course, the husband and wife went together. And now, husbands go shopping. But I went shopping last week. My wife was out of the hospital. I do go shopping at other times, by the way. And I'll often take the kids, let Kathy have a break. I kind of like it. So I went this one particular day, and usually Kathy has menus written out, you know, that she, and we buy according to these menus, but she just got an operation on her leg, and she hadn't had time, and so I thought, well, I'll just run and get milk and cereal, you know, and we'll make it through to tomorrow when she can get it done, and then I'll go again. So I got there, it was about 11:30 at night. Holiday's really nice at 11:30 at night because, you know, you don't have the crowds. You don't get the food either, but, you know, you don't have the crowds. So I don't take the kids at that time because they like the snacks and, you know, they kind of get to bed around that time at night anyway. So I was going down the aisle and I thought, well, I'm going to surprise Kathy. I'm going to make all the menus this week. Oh, gee, that was a mistake. You know, now I used to be a cook, so I mean, I'm not a novice at this, but I had no idea what things cost. So I grabbed some turkey and some ham and some pastrami, about 15 bagels. I went to the checkout counter. Oh, that'll be $110, sir. Oh, $110! This just looks like what my wife gets every week. I said, did the drought really affect us that much? You know, and she... And, well, no, sir. I said, boy, I tell you, I am sure glad I got a wife. I said, I'd go broke. You know, usually we try to keep it around 80. So that was $30, you know. Wow, that's incredible. Well, I think it's important that we get in the habit of telling those we say we love that we do love them and why. And if you go home today and got nothing else out of this, if you change this, if you change two things, if you quit with the negative and start with the good and helpful things in love, your love life, your relationships are going to take off. They will skyrocket. You'll be amazed at the response you begin to get out of your children. You know as well as I do. Johnny, stop that. Sally, I told you to leave your little brother alone. Get out of the cookie jar. We're eating in an hour. Okay, you know what I'm saying? It goes from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. When do you ever say, boy, Johnny, that was a nice way to talk to your sister. Boy, Sally, thanks for helping Mommy take out the garbage. Boy, you kids, I'm just so proud of you. I tell my kids that every day. And I tell them why. Boy, you know, so-and-so said something to me about you the other day, and I repeat it to them, tell them who it is. I said, I'm so proud of you. You guys make me so proud. Oh, that is so important, the fostering strong roots in those little plants and growing fruitful little people. And the same with your wife and your husband. You know, it's very easy just to... Some of us, I know, we just think, Mark, you just don't know what you're saying. I couldn't even get that out. If someone put a gun to my head, it'd be so hard for me to say to that man, George, oh, thanks. Thanks for being my husband. You know? Thanks for helping us get this house. You know, we just couldn't get it out. I know people like that. Don't worry about how you feel. Say what's right. That's the biggest misnomer in our society. If it feels good, do it. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Baloney. That's garbage. Do what's right. We taught our little children a verse that says, I would have you learn this great fact, that the wisest life of all is the life of doing right. There is right and wrong in life, and it doesn't matter if you feel it. I tell my wife a ton of times I love her, and it doesn't well up this huge emotion of romance inside that I feel. I tell her because I mean it. I'm committed to her, but I don't always feel like it. Things don't always feel like they did 9.5 years ago when we got engaged, and that joy, that zest, that zeal. I don't care. I love her. I'm with her, and I realize there's stresses that come into life. There's struggles that come into life, but we're growing together, and we're learning together, and we're going to make mistakes together. Learn to lavish praise all the time. Make it a habit every day. Make it a habit to say at least 1 to 5 to 10. I try to say at least 10 to my children. Even if it's the same thing. I try to tell my wife how much she means to me. And not just, hey, you mean a lot to me. But why? I talk about her when I'm in public. I tell other people about her. Why? Because it builds up my own self-esteem towards my wife. It's so easy to think of everything that's wrong. Just think about the devotion that that person has shown to you. The things, the stupidity, the foolishness, the ignorance that they've put up with. I think about that a lot. It really humbles me. And I'm very thankful for my wife. And for my children, they put up with folly as well. So all those things will really foster, I think, a tremendous love relationship with those you love. Six, speak of the strengths of those you love, not their failures and their shortcomings. Oh, this is a real easy one. I know from experience, the easiest thing in the world to do is to see all the things that your mate has got to change in. Okay? You know, one of the things that never ceases, it happens every time. Guy, girl, they get married. You know the first thing that changes about the guy? His wardrobe and his hair. Always. Always. Unless he's ultra GQ man. And there aren't very many of those. Okay? The first thing changes. Well, honey, this goes. Oh, you can't wear that. This goes. Hey, and I say, you know, that's kind of nice. I think it's kind of great. But sometimes a wife takes it upon herself that she's an image maker and she's going to change the man. And you start to get into personality and into his temperament and into all the crud that you just can't stand. And husbands, we do the same thing. Or we do it with our friends. We do it with our children. You need to focus on the strengths of those you love. Build on the strengths, and then I have found you always have plenty of room and liberty to talk about needs. But don't make them personal. We're already self-critical ourselves. Learn to put them in a positive framework. Learn to give helpful suggestions. And if you can't give a helpful suggestion, zip it. Just close your mouth. Be positive. Focus on the strengths in those that you work with. On your employees, with your employer. Boy, I'll tell you, I was visiting with a friend just the other day, talking to me about his job. He works for a very large company, and a very new company in the city. He said, Mark, he said, what should I do? The place I work, he said, it's 90% gossip and slander all the time. I mean, it's so negative, it actually is changing me. It actually affects me when I come home. I told him I'd quit. I'd get another job. Two reasons why. Management refuses to listen. If management will not take suggestions that they can really change the work environment, then you don't need that kind of a company. You've got the experience, you've got the know-how. You go out and get into a positive work environment. Number two, it ends up affecting you. Whether you like it or not, if you're exposed to it 40 hours a week and everyone's negative and they're backbiting, talking, and pretty soon you find you're doing it with your wife. And one of these days, the job ruined your marriage for a number of reasons, not because so much you were married to it, because it changed you. It made you totally negative, totally critical all the time. That's really the issue. Criticism, criticism, criticism. You can really change your work environment, especially if there's enough of you. But just you alone, by having a positive attitude during the day, a thankful attitude, really affects your marriage. Learn to speak tenderly and not harshly. It's funny sometimes late at night. I don't know what it is about nighttime. Sometimes I get phone calls at night and it seems like my voice changes. I don't know if it's I'm tired or because I'm laying down talking on the phone or what it is. But I have learned with my wife that tenderness is a priceless commodity. And with my children, that when I speak, it's very important to be tender and not harsh. It's very important to, this is our another point, to smile when you talk. Smile when you speak. Smile. I walked into a place the other day, and the gentleman said to me, it was a pizza place I go to quite often. And I walked in, he goes, he looked at me for a minute and said, did I just see your brother in the paper a while back? I thought maybe he was referring to Ron Darling, the pitcher, you know, the baseball pitcher or something. And I said, well, what paper? He said, well, last Wednesday. I said, oh, I said, that was my picture. He goes, well, I thought I recognized the smile. I thought I knew that smile. That really struck me. Boy, a smile can just totally turn the inside of a person. I have talked to people right in my face, and they are hot. And a smile, just, they don't know what to do. They just kind of go, well, what do you say to a guy who's smiling at you, you know? I mean, or your wife who's smiling at you. Says, well, honey, I love you anyway. Well, honey, and pretty soon the husband just melts like, oh, gee, I can't stay mad at a smile. You know, the same way with the wife, you see? So a smile goes a long ways, and tenderness. Learn to change the tone of your voice. Proverbs is a book I read all the time. I read one proverb out of the Bible, a whole chapter every day. And one proverb says, sweetness of speech adds persuasiveness. It's the difference between a heavy metal song this morning and Barry White. Remember Barry White? Some of you don't remember Barry White. Let me think of another guy. Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston, that soft, tender voice. Boy, it's just very, very alluring. The difference when we talk of what tenderness can do. And sometimes public's different than private, but you always need to remember that. Sometimes because I speak a lot, I'll talk like this at home. My wife's sitting in a chair and I'm walking in the living room. Now, honey, and we've got to look for the... You know, and I talk better when I'm walking and moving, and I got to stop that. I learn to sit down and communicate, you know, interact. Learn to say please and thank you. I think that's something grossly missing today in our society, in our family life. Our children, regularly, we've taught them when first they could talk, if a brother or sister hit them or was taking something they wanted, to say, please don't. It always softens the don't. Stop! That's harsh. Please don't. And they do that. They do that very regularly and say thank you. I say thank you to my children. I say please to my children. Say, son, would you please go get me a box upstairs? Or Celeste, would you please go up and do this? Say that to my wife. Now, I don't do it 100% of the time. But I'm just saying I make a real conscious effort to do that. Show some politeness and considerateness to your family with what you say. Ninth thing, I already said smile. The last thing. Remember, words either make people grow or they make things die. I can't overemphasize that enough. Life can come. Proverbs says, the lips of the righteous feed many. But there's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise soothes and heals. And each one of us can have that ability to soothe and heal with what we say. And we each have that ability to take those words out like a sword and bring that thing out and just begin slashing it all over, and we leave those we love cut and bleeding all over the home and in our life. And I met people like this in business. I don't know how they stay in business. I really don't. Some of you, I'm sure, have recognized that, how they stay in business. And then I've been to other places where they have the most glowing receptionist. She gets up, says hello, the sweetest voice, kind. The person comes out, and there's companies up here. It's really struck me. When I go into some companies, talk to some businessmen, boy, I'll tell you, they're really sharp with what they say. And very careful, and you feel very warm. There's others you'd never go back to. Let's help make our families and our loved ones and our relationships those that are going to grow and nurture. And then I can guarantee you something. I got a guarantee. They will stand the test of time. They will stand the weathering that goes on. Because you're not going to be perfect. Stress is going to come into your life. Pressures are going to come and you're going to make mistakes. But if you fortify it, if you fortify that relationship, it'll be able to endure those rough times. Let's pray and thank.